May the Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell prostrate and were very much afraid. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and do not be afraid." And when the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one else but Jesus alone. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, "Do not tell a vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord.
In the readings of today, there is what looks like a preview of God's glory. What is a preview? It's not only in movies that you have previews, okay? But to say you're previewing something means anything that gives an advanced idea or impression of something to come. Something gives you an idea in advance of that which is to come. That is what a preview means. So we see different aspects of this in the readings of today. In the first reading, God takes Abraham on a journey. That is one way to preview God's glory. The journey between God and Abraham, eventually Abraham, is a journey that began with Abraham not knowing what the future holds. Didn't know what was to come. But what happens? Move from your own home country to a place where I will show you. Abraham moves. Faith is the anchor of that encounter. But faith isn't something that is so easy. And in that relationship between God and Abraham, we see a lot of times Abraham's faith challenged. But Abraham remains steadfast because he knows that God, who promises, remains faithful. So God takes us on a journey. And when God takes you on a journey, sometimes the end isn't very clear. The end isn't very certain. The outcome is not always known. But this is where faith comes in. For those of us who are immigrants, for example, there are some of us who come in here without having any connection, any relationship. And somebody enters the plane without knowing where to reside when he or she lands there. And then you are wondering, what is going to happen when I get to the USA? Right? What is going to happen? And then back there, you're hearing about the cold, the winter, and everything. But it takes a journey of faith to understand that God walks ahead. God goes ahead. In the case of Abraham, multiple promises and assurances. God says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And all communities of the earth shall be blessed in you. How does that happen? When Abraham doesn't know exactly what and where he's going to. It is because God takes you on a journey and God stays. The second thing is that God manifests himself even in suffering. And we find this in the second letter of St. Paul to Timothy in our reading today. St. Paul reminds Timothy to bear his own share of the hardship of the gospel for the sake of Christ and through the strength that comes from Christ. The most challenging times in our lives are moments of suffering. But most times, suffering can make us feel like God is no longer with us. God is no longer traveling with us on that journey. Ups and downs, the vicissitudes of life, disappointments, sometimes sorrow, sometimes betrayal. A lot of times we face suffering. And significantly, as Christians, we also suffer for the sake of our faith. Remember what Christ said in the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. He said, blessed are you when they persecute you for my sake. Blessed are you, for your reward will be great in heaven. When you go through suffering, it's important to remind yourself that God manifests himself at that moment. I had an encounter with a young man who has been going through pains, physical pains, at his back. And for months and months and months, he kept seeing doctors, but it was getting tougher and tougher for him. When I met with him and we were sitting in front of the Blessed Sacrament, he called me and he said, Father, you know, this moment has drawn me closer to Jesus. This moment has made me to understand more what Christ suffered for me. He learns to obey through suffering. That is Jesus. Jesus learned to obey through suffering. And our stories cannot, as Christians, be complete without the story of suffering. And that is what the cross signifies during this Lent. We are reminded of the need to come closer to the cross, to come closer to Jesus, to come closer to the sufferings of Jesus, because by his wounds we are saved. So God manifests himself in suffering. The third thing is that God shows himself in unfamiliar circumstances because he is the one who knows what is ahead. Just think about the transfiguration experience with Jesus, taking Peter, James, and John on a mountain by themselves. Jesus takes them away. The same thing that happened in the case of Abraham. God takes Abraham on a mountain. God takes Abraham on a journey. Jesus takes his disciples on this journey. But it's important to remember that Peter, James, and John are described as the apostles of the inner circle. So they have intimacy with Jesus. Abraham has intimacy with God. The disciples have intimacy with Jesus. So it takes an intimate relationship with God to know his will, to know his mind, to know his presence, to feel his glory, even in moments that are not clear to us. So the circumstances are not clear. What is happening at the transfiguration? Moses, Elijah appear. These are Old Testament figures symbolizing the law and the prophets. And Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. So Jesus becomes the culmination of God's law for us, of the prophecy of existence and life for God's children. And when they appear, certain things happen. The face of Jesus shines bright, his clothes become whiter, and the voice of the Father speaks from above, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." Listen to him. That is a great message. The voice of the Father speaks to us in and through Christ Jesus. And that is one great way that God manifests his glory. And what happens? Peter is excited. "Lord, if duty can be this way, let us make three tents here. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Let us just stay this at this point." This is so beautiful. So Peter is excited. If you read Mark's version of this, it says, Peter did not even know what he was saying when he said that. But then the next moment, these Old Testament figures are no longer there. And the Bible said, when they raised their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus alone. They saw no one but Jesus alone. The presence of God is always, always inviting us to feel him. When Peter said, "Let us build three tents here," Peter is feeling the excitement, but Peter doesn't know the complete story. So the transfiguration is a revelation, it's a theophany, but it's not a complete manifestation of the person of Jesus. The identity of Jesus has been revealed, but the identity of Jesus is not all about fuzzy, easygoing, joyful thing. And that is what Peter is seeing here. And at the end of that gospel, what happens? Jesus wants them not to tell anyone about their experience until he has risen from the dead. So the complete theophany will happen at the resurrection. So it is through his suffering, through his death, that Jesus will manifest his glory in full. So that is what he calls Peter. So what he's telling Peter here is, I love this American expression, "You ain't seen anything yet." Right? "You ain't seen anything yet." That's what he's telling Peter here. "You ain't seen anything yet. So don't talk. Be calm. You ain't seen nothing yet. More is to come. So don't stay with the excitement. Don't stay with this fun pop. There is something that is greater coming. You ain't seen anything yet. Wait until the revelation happens. And the revelation is that the Son of Man will be persecuted, will be betrayed, will be tormented by the chief priests, the scribes, and the Pharisees. And on the third day, he will rise to glory. That is the full manifestation. That is how to feel him. So, my dear friends, a lot of things happen in our lives that want to take our attention from God, that want to take our attention from Jesus. A lot of things happen that sometimes make us feel like, okay, let me stay here. But God wants you to stay somewhere else. What does God want you to do? Where does God want you to stay? It could be moments of disappointment or failure or betrayal or hurt, whatever it is. It can also be moments of joy and excitement and happiness and success by the things you feel you have achieved or are happening around you. What is important is, like these disciples, to raise your eyes and see no one else, nothing else but Jesus. Jesus is inviting us to have this preview of God's glory in our lives. And how can you feel it? God calls them and said, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." How do you listen to Jesus? How do you hear the voice of Jesus? How do you feel the presence of Jesus? How do you experience the comfort of Jesus? Listen to Jesus. Listen to Jesus. If the world listens to Jesus today, the world will be more at peace. If families will listen to Jesus today, families will be more at peace. If we feel the presence of Jesus at our workplaces, the workplaces will be more serene and comfortable and accommodating. If the schools feel the presence of Jesus today, the schools will be more enjoyable. Our children will be more comfortable and will be more satisfied. If we feel the presence of Jesus, then God speaks to us and we're able to hear him. My dear friends, so this week, maybe focus on how you can hear Jesus speak to you. What is he saying to you? Don't mind the distractions. Don't mind the side attractions. Focus on Jesus. Give him a little more time. Like Peter, James, and John. Travel with him on that mountain that he is inviting you to. Spend time with Jesus and ask him, Lord, what exactly are you asking of me? Speak to me. Let me feel you. Make me hear you. Make me feel your presence. One thing for sure is God accompanies us. He doesn't abandon us, no matter what happens. The Psalm 23 verse 4 says, even though you walk in the valley of the shadow of death, for the Lord is there with his crook and with his staff to do what? To give you comfort. Ask Jesus to speak to you and make yourself available to him. Amen.